very significant in the land of Israel. In the first year of Darius, this is Daniel 9, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. And so what has taken place was that the Babylonians had come in and they had captured Jerusalem, taken many into captivity. And Jeremiah had prophesied hundreds of years before that this would last 70 years. And so Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah and understood that after 70 years was up from the time of the captivity of the Babylonians of Jerusalem, until Cyrus gave the edict that Jerusalem was to be rebuilt was 70 years. And so this 70 years from the time of the nation Israel became a nation in 1948 until today, and the signing of the embassy being moved to Jerusalem has been 70 years. And it's pretty remarkable how God keeps those things intact. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, today we're going to move into our study in Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4, but before I get there, we're going to be talking about entering into His rest. How many of you are interested in resting at some point in your life? Amen. Amen. Well, when I was a kid, and I don't remember what age I started. It was early in my age. And I remember going out and planting peas and beans and corn and watermelon. And after those peas and beans and watermelon, I remember going out and hoeing the garden, hoeing 80 acres of watermelon. Oh, I didn't do it all by myself. I had some brothers. And we would go out and hoe, and it was like, man, will this ever end? And we would go out and I remember before daylight going out and sitting on the end of the bean row or the pea row, waiting for it to get daylight enough to be able to pick my beans and peas and get, you know, bushel baskets. And then when we got home, we got to shell them. Get them ready for the freezer. There were 7 children in our family, and so my dad was a preacher and he didn't make a lot of money. So we had to do some farming to help pay for our victuals. And so we would do that, and I was I would think, man, will this ever end? Will it ever end? Then I would go visit Cynthia with 10 children and her family. And guess what was in her living room floor? Peas and beans. When you come during harvest time, I mean, in our living room, there would just be piles and piles of beans and peas, and the same thing over at Cynthia's. And so I'd get to go over there and help her a little bit. That was better working with them than it was with my family, definitely. And then we would go to church and we would sing songs like, "We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home." And it's like, man, will we ever stop? Will we ever stop? And then we'd sing another song. Toiling on, 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 toiling on. Do you know that song? It was all about working. I want to sing one of the verses for you. The verses are awesome. There's like 4 verses. I'm not going to take time to read them all. I'll read the last verse, and then you can, if you know the refrain, you can sing it with me. To the work in the strength of the Lord, and a robe and a crown shall our labor reward. When the home of the faithful our dwelling shall be, and we shout with the ransom, salvation is free. Toiling on, toiling on, 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 toiling on, 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 toiling on, on, on. Let us hope and trust, let us watch and pray, and labor till the Master comes. You know, he's just really, that's just an inspiring song. it made me just want to just go out and just work. Now, the verses are wonderful in that, you know what? We are expected to do things for the kingdom of God. We're expected to bring people into the kingdom. We're expected to help those who don't have what they need to take care of themselves. We're supposed to do that. There's some work involved in the kingdom, okay? But sometimes you just want to rest. Have you ever felt like that? Sometimes you just want to rest. Well, this passage in Hebrews, now I've been to church all my life and I never heard anybody, especially my dad, preach on this topic about resting. But in Hebrews chapter 3 and then verse 4, in chapter 4, continuation of the same thought, we read these words. And let's stand together for the reading of God's word. It says, "And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For if we who have believed enter that rest, as he said, as I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he points a certain day, today, saying through David, as long, so long afterward in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Roger, would you pray for me as I begin this morning, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So he likens the rest to the children of Israel who came out of Egypt, and God was wanting to take them to a place of rest. But something happened. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, and with great enthusiasm, they went through the Red Sea, and they came out on the other side, and the Egyptian army was consumed by the waters. They all drowned, and they were in party mode, buddy. They were shouting and praising and dancing and exalting the Lord. And they thought, and it was the most miraculous thing they had ever experienced. But how soon they forgot. How soon they forgot. The problem was that they were delivered from Egypt. They were delivered from the bondage of Egypt, but God could never get Egypt out of them. And one of the reasons they had such a problem in the wilderness and had to stick around in the wilderness for 40 years is because Egypt was still in their life, and they couldn't get it out. And God said, "I have a rest for you. I have a place where you can go to and you can be at rest." But You're not able to go there because of unbelief and disobedience. Did you know that unbelief and disobedience kind of go hand in hand? I believe that anytime we live in unbelief, we're going to experience and participate in disobedience. I want you to know that God has more for you than you are experiencing right now. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, God has more for you than you are experiencing right now. God has more for you. Listen. When you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you accepted Him, you moved from death to life. You moved from hell to heaven. You moved from a child of Satan to a child of God. And that's an awesome thing. But God says, I've got more for you than just saving your neck from hell. There's more for you. And many of us don't move into what the more is that He has for us because one of the reasons is unbelief. Another one is disobedience. God has more for you. More than you can imagine. And I would like for every one of us, and I'm still headed in that direction. I haven't arrived yet. But I'm a whole lot closer than I was years ago. Okay? And what I would like for all of us to do is challenge ourselves. I'm going to begin moving in that direction. And we're going to tell you how to get there. So, what does rest mean? Now, we're not talking about entering heaven's gates, per se. Okay? There is a rest. There is a heavenly rest. One day, you're all going to die, and maybe I will be the guy who does the funeral. That's a morbid thought. But the truth is, we're all going to die. If you're a child of God, when you die, you're going to enter the heavenly rest. But that's not what this passage is talking about. Now, the rest we're talking about is not idleness. Okay? We're not talking about idleness. Or we're not talking about leisure. See, a lot of times, especially we in America, see many people who are idle and unproductive. And they think it's their right to be idle and unproductive. See, that's not God's plan for you. God intends for His children to be productive. Amen? He does not intend His children to be idle. He intends for His children to be at work. That's what all those songs were about. And there were more songs I didn't even bring up about being active in the work that God has given you to do. Now, listen, especially young people. I go to some graduation ceremonies, and oftentimes I hear these statements being made that you need to find your passion and then work in that area of your passion. Okay? And those are good thoughts and ideas, but that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says you go to work and become passionate about what you're doing. Okay? Whatever you do, do it heartily as if to the Lord. Now, whatever you do, if you're digging ditches, do it for the Lord. If you're serving pancakes, do it for the Lord. Whatever you're doing, if you're at a gas station pumping gas, do it for the Lord. Whatever you're doing, do it for the Lord. You become passionate about what you do. It may be a dirty job. It may be a job nobody else wants. But I guarantee you, if you become passionate about it and do it for the Lord, God will promote you. You do it for the Lord. Colossians 3, bondservants, do it for the Lord. Do it for the Lord. Do it for the Lord. Do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as unto the Lord. Don't do it for men. Don't do it for your boss. Do it to the Lord. Let Him be pleased. Don't look for your accolades from your boss. Look for accolades from the Lord. We have so many people who don't want to work. It's hard to find good workers nowadays. Isn't that right, Todd? Yep. Larry? Yep. Hard to find good workers. Didn't mean to embarrass you, Larry. We have to. When we work, we need to work as unto the Lord and let the Lord reward us. So, when we're talking about rest, we're not talking about leisure. We're not even talking about retirement. We're not talking about that. Okay? What we're talking about, the writer is talking about the experience of working with the Lord. Co-laboring with Christ. Did you know that you can do more with Christ than you can do without Him? And did you know that whenever you are doing more with Christ, there's joy in the service? There becomes joy in work. There becomes joy in service. There becomes joy in doing things with the Lord. And if you're not with the Lord, there is little joy in it. Okay? So we become co-laborers with Christ. Tom read John 15 a while ago. And it talks about abiding in Christ. And did you know that if you abide in Christ, that there's more fruit that is readily available and that is produced if you don't abide in Christ? I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what your job is. Did you know that God wants to work with you in that? He wants to give you ideas. He wants to help you understand things that you don't understand. I was, some years ago, there was a fellow who came to our church who was a computer tech. And he said sometimes he'd go on a job and he wouldn't know what to do, and he would ask the Lord, "Lord, what do I do about this?" And he would get an idea and try it, and it worked. I wonder who came up with computers to start with. When you allow the Lord to work with you in these things, things become, it becomes easier. It becomes fun, and it becomes joyful. As Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What do you think He was talking about? He was saying, whatever you do. Now, here's a lot of times people pray this. They pray, "God, I'm going out to work today. I pray You would bless me in my work." What if we prayed, "Lord, I'm Your servant today, and I want to do whatever You ask me to do. Tell me what You want me to do today." And then you began to work with Him in His project rather than asking Him to work with you in your project. What do you think God is more interested in you doing, working with Him or Him working with you? God is more interested in you working with Him than He is in Him working with you. Now, you may have all your life been just doing your thing, and God says, "Okay, I'm going to bless him now because of my mercy, because of my grace, because of my love, I'm going to bless him." But hopefully one day he'll come or she'll come to a point in their lives when they will say, Lord, I want to be about your business today. I want to be on your agenda, and I want you to lead me and guide me and direct me in the things that I do. Now, these are the things that I feel that you have placed in my heart. This is the job that you've given me. This is the work that you've given me to do. And so therefore, Lord, I'm going to do it for your honor and for your glory. And if there's something I need to do I'm not supposed to do, let me know. If there's something I need to do that I'm not doing, then, Lord, I need to know that. So allow the Lord to begin influencing your behavior, influencing your life at work, and see what good comes of that. Let me ask you, do you believe God's word? So do you believe that if you abide in Christ, that you will be more productive than you are now? Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. Why? Because he's abiding in Christ. Because he's abiding in Christ. Now, what I believe the Lord is talking about here when he's talking about resting is not so much an idleness, not so much retirement, not so much of any of those things, but what he's talking about is that coming into labor with him, if you're working with him and he says, I want to yoke with you, and he's pulling most of the weight, there's some rest in that. There's some rest in that. But Scripture says that many people do not enter in because of unbelief. So how do you enter in? Now, verse 11 in Hebrews chapter 4 says that we have to strive to enter in to his rest. Or we have to labor to enter in to his rest. That seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? We've got to strive. We've got to endeavor. We've got to labor. We've got to make every effort, he says, to enter in and to his rest. So, how do we do it? The way we do it is stay connected to the vine. The way we do it is to abide in Christ. Sometimes it's a moment-by-moment decision to stay connected. Now, here's the deal. You're not striving to become more fruitful. You're striving to stay connected. You're not striving for bigger production. You're striving to stay connected. You're not striving to get a better workforce. You're striving to stay connected. How many of you have tried to walk with the Lord for extended periods of time, let's just say a day, and you've said, I'm going to stay connected with the Lord all day today? Have you ever tried that? Is that easy? No, it's not easy. It's difficult. But it's not impossible. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. We aren't striving to grow the church. We're striving to stay connected. Okay? That's our work that we're doing. We are striving to yield ourselves to the Spirit continuously as a body. Let me ask you a question. So, in order to stay connected, some of the things that we have to strive to do is overcome fleshly appetites. Is that easy? No. Another thing we have to do to stay connected is to overcome bondages of the past.
How is that easy?
No. Another thing we need to do is endeavor in our prayers. Is that easy? For some of you it might be. It's difficult for me. Another thing we need to do is endeavor to listen to the Holy Spirit. Endeavor to die to self. And endeavor to follow the Holy Spirit when you do hear Him. It's not always easy to believe. And it's not always easy to follow. So there is some striving that takes place in our life, some labor, some intensive labor on our parts in order for us to become, to come to the point where we can yield to the Holy Spirit and be able to rest in Him. And Scripture says here in Hebrews chapter 4, we just read it, there he was afraid, the writer said, I'm afraid that some of you are never going to enter into His rest because of unbelief, because of disobedience, because you're not listening, because you're not following, because you're not implementing the things you know to do, then you're not going to enter into His rest. We're not talking about saved from hell. We're talking about saved to serve in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. Okay? So, every day, every moment, we have to endeavor to be filled with Christ. I asked at the beginning of this sermon, no show of hands, but how many of you wanted to rest? And most hands went up. I want to enter rest, period. I want to come to a time when there is a time for rest. What if you had to strive to get there? It's kind of like, not exactly, but many of you are trying to retire. And you're putting money aside. Hopefully one day you're going to have enough money that you can retire. And so you've got this little nest egg built so that when you retire, you can live comfortably without having to worry about anything. Okay? It's kind of like that, but not. You're striving, and it's like that in this area. You're striving, you're working hard to get to a place where you can rest. But it's not like that in this. When you're retired, if you're not connected to the Holy Spirit, you're still not going to have rest. You may have some excursions you go on, some adventures you do, but you're not going to be joyful in it unless the Lord is with you in it. And so what the writer of Hebrews is trying to tell us is don't go through your life with all of this worldly things that you've put your heart and your mind and yourself into and leaving. So a lot of times people, they've got their work week, they've got their family week, they've got their pleasure week, and then on Sundays they've got their God day. And what he's wanting you to do is have a God day all the time. Every day you can have a God day. Every day you can walk in peace. Every day you can have the joy of the Lord. Every day, every day, every day. And the way we receive that is by entering into his rest, but you've got to strive to get there. Does that make sense to you? Sometimes when you're talking about spiritual things, it's very difficult to bring it into a physical understanding. But God wants you to enter into his rest. There may be many of you here today who are living a miserable life. And one of the reasons you've been living a miserable life is because God has wanted you to take some steps of faith in your life, and you've been disobedient in those areas. You may be here today without Christ. You may have come today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And your sin is making you miserable. And God is saying, listen, why don't you step out of that life and step out into the life that's going to give you hope and peace and joy? Aren't you tired of being tired? Aren't you tired of fighting against the Lord? God told Paul, aren't you tired of kicking against the pricks? Aren't you tired? Quit fighting and yield to the Lord. And I think that not only goes for non-Christians, but also many Christians are fighting against the Lord. And God is saying, quit fighting. Submit. Surrender. Your life can be different today than it when you leave here than it was when you got here if you just surrender. That's all you have to do. One day at a time, one step at a time, just surrender. I've heard many pastors say, about their call to preach. When were you called to preach? In my journey, it's been like, I don't know that there was ever a call. It was just the next thing, the next step that the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. I was a music youth minister for a long time. Then I just went into youth ministry. Then I thought, Cynthia and I, well, I thought we were going into the foreign mission field. And so in order to do that, I had to get some seminary. Cynthia had to get some seminary. And we didn't meet the deadline and the criteria. And it was like, in order to go to the foreign mission field, to be a church planter, I had to pastor a church for 2 years. So I went into the pastorate so I could go to the foreign mission field. Well, after we got there, God said, no, I don't want you to go to the foreign mission field. I want you to stay in the pastorate. Okay. So that's why I'm here. Just because every day God wants to lead your life. Every day He wants to tell you what to do. And there's going to be some surprises along the way. Okay? But you need to be faithful to what He calls you to do and just do the best you know with Him as you go along the journey. It's a whole lot better than doing it alone, I guarantee you. Whole lot better. Some of you here today have been just doing it alone. I can handle it. Or maybe not even that attitude. I can't handle it, but I don't know what to do about it. I'm just doing my best. There's better for you than that existence. God has more for you than what you are experiencing at this moment. He has more for you. So this morning, if you are here without Christ and you are miserable in your sin, God says, I want to deliver you from that. I want to give you joy. I want to give you peace. I want to give you heaven. I've got a lot of wonderful gifts for you if you will receive Christ as your Savior. Others of you here today want to say, you know what? I'm tired of doing it alone. I want to work with Jesus and not for Him. I want to work with Him and not for Him. I want to enter into His rest. And you know what? Today, I get more rest, more peaceful as I take this journey. It's becoming better and better and better as I yield to Him. Father, I come before You today. And Lord, I pray that the words that were spoken today would penetrate our hearts. And God, that we would be able to sense Your presence, and God, to take those steps that need to be taken. Lord, I want each of us here today to be able to enter into Your rest. You said the only reason we are not is because of unbelief and disobedience. And I pray, God, today we would be obedient with the things that you've called us to. We'd be obedient to the things that you've made known to our heart. And Lord, that we would walk with you and abide in you. Lord, we want to be yoked with you. You said your burden is easy. Your burden is light. Your yoke is easy. And so, Lord, we want to be yoked with you so that we can enter into your rest and give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let's stand together as we sing. And if you need to come to the altar and pray, if you need to speak with me, I will be here to pray with you.
Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, now I will shout your praise, our hearts will cry.
Okay, for those of you who have not been here for our Christian Essentials, we have that every Sunday morning. It's for all the men and the women, and it's been amazing talking about fellowship today. We have quite a lot of discussion. Anyway, today we're having a special business meeting to vote on whether or not to purchase the house next door. And tonight there is a global day of prayer at 6 o'clock at First Christian. Praise and worship at 5:30. Thank you very much. I think the boys' ministry is the 31st now. This coming Friday. Okay, that's the 25th. And I think it's at our place at 5:30. Okay. 6:30. Okay. Got to get that down. We'll clean out chicken pens. That's what we'll do. Okay, work day at the church is coming Saturday, and Larry Grant had that tool somewhere around. Tom, do you have it? That's a Wonder Bar. If you don't know what it is, they want you to bring a hammer and a Wonder Bar. So I thought it was a granola bar, but it's not. It's not. Okay. Okay. Potluck next Sunday at after church, and June 2nd. Be sure we're going to be having a group of how many people from 11 people from Mississippi. Do you have enough housing? Okay, they've got houses, places to stay, and we're going to prepare meals. So if you want to be part of that, the 2nd through the 7th, there need to be meals prepared at the church. So. And then it's right back there. Okay, so, and Teresa, if you have any questions, Teresa's in charge. Then there will also be a potluck June 3rd, that Sunday, to bless them. And I think Pastor's bringing some really good food that they'll like, because he knows how to cook. They know how to, well, we can show them what it's like to eat Western food.
I hope you go away today and begin that, if you haven't already begun, that connecting with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that's going to bring you as much fulfillment as walking in the Spirit and following Him. We're going to have, good to have you, the Kleins. Glad you could come today. We're going to, okay. Good. We're going to have a dismissal prayer. Anyone and everyone is welcome to stay for our business meeting. We're going to give you about 5 minutes after we adjourn to get some water, use the bathroom, whatever you need to do, and then we'll be back.